Okay, Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to the end. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this passage, Lord. Would you please teach us what this means for us today, Lord, and help us to encourage others who might be thinking about some of these issues and some of these concepts. Amen. We're very good, aren't we, at looking after our lives. Self-preservation is something that we learn very early on in our life, really, isn't it? We do all sorts of things in adult life and young life. We wear all the sort of safety gear that we can find to protect us. And we love to have inflatables just in case we sink, something to keep us propped up. Do lots of exercise, eat well, and take all the supplements and the vitamins and the minerals that we need. And we do all these things, which are good things in themselves. There's nothing wrong with these things. We do these that in the hope that we will prolong our life, if not to certainly make it better in the short term. But we know deep down that none of these are going to really extend our life into eternity. So what we do, we think, well, I need to add to those things. We think, well, what I'll do is I'll work for a charity and I'll volunteer and I'll make sure I'm giving a lot and I won't swear anymore. I'll just be nice. And I'll go to church and I'll make sure I get my communion every week and I'll read my Bible every day. And we think, well, I'll put all those things together and I might have just done enough to earn myself eternal life. All of those things should preserve my life because I've done a good job doing those things. And then what we do, what we think is that once all those things are sort of done and dusted with for the week, we think in between, well, I've done that, so I can just look after myself now. I can do what I want, whatever I please. When I'm not volunteering for my charity, when I'm not at church, or if I'm not reading my Bible, I can just do the things that I like. I can look after my needs now, because on balance, I've done enough. If I was to face the two doormen at heaven, and they were to ask me, why should I let you in? I could say, well, I'm balanced. I've done enough to preserve my life. That's what we think, isn't it? The great fatal lie that we tell ourselves. The world tells itself, on balance, I've done enough. I've done enough to preserve myself. And here we see Jesus says, this is absolutely fatal. Absolutely fatal. Jesus says that our efforts to save our own life, to not only prolong it for ourselves, but also to think that we could possibly preserve it forever, well, it will only result in us losing it. Look at the first half of verse 35. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And it seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? It seems the opposite of what we'd expect. And that's certainly what the world thinks. Surely, if I exercise, if I do all these things, take supplements, go to church, take communion, surely those are good things. And yes, they are good things. And we need those things. But it all comes down to, why are we doing that? It all depends on our attitude. Who are we ultimately serving? In whose interest is it that we live like that? And Jesus says quite clearly, if it's for your own interest, if you're looking out for yourself, then that isn't good. And that's going to be guaranteed failure. For whoever wants to save their life, whoever thinks that they can control their life, whoever thinks they can prolong their life on their own efforts, will lose it, Jesus says. But if it's for Jesus, if we're doing all those things for Jesus, and we'll see why in a minute, then it's a different outcome, isn't it? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, for Jesus, and for the gospel, will save it, he says. And this is the key point. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, who does your life point at? Who are you orientated to? Are you orientated to Jesus or just to yourself? Are we just bent in on ourselves? Everything's focused on ourselves. Or are we pointing everything to Jesus? That's what he means in verse 34. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Now, what he doesn't mean is that to follow Jesus and to live for him, it doesn't mean that we get ourselves crucified at the hand of the Romans. And it's quite easy to read out that way. That's what Jesus was going to do. Is that what we do? Is that what we follow? But what Jesus is talking about is what the cross was all about. Sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. So when he means take up your cross, he's saying sacrifice your life for me. Give up your way of life and obey me instead. And of course, the first question we'll ask is, well, why would I do that? Why would I want to do that? Because that's what Jesus did for us. He literally gave up his life for us. He sacrificed himself literally on the cross to give us that opportunity to turn to him in repentance and to follow him. And so what Jesus is saying is, take up your cross means literally to give your wants, your desires, your goals, to give all those things to Jesus and to follow and obey him instead. This is like a safety deposit box. Our life, we literally give to Jesus on the understanding that he will secure it, he will keep it safe. Like we put everything that's valuable to us, the things that we treasure most, into a safety deposit box. It's locked away, underground, in a vault. It's protected, secure. Nothing can touch it. Jesus is saying the same thing. Give me your life, and I will keep it safe forever. And we're saying to Jesus, as we do that, I'm no longer in charge of my life, Jesus. You have it now. You have my destiny. You are in charge of preserving me. Because we're saying, I trust in what you did on the cross and in rising again is sufficient for my life. Because of what you did, I know my life will be safe with you. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And of course, it does involve sacrifice. It does involve asking Jesus to change our desires. We can't do that on our own. It means understanding that as we do that, we're forsaking what the world can offer us. Because we're understanding that the world can give us nothing that will last. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? This is the attitude of, well, the world can give me everything I need. And you know what? I'm not even going to think about what happens to me when I die, because the world is just full of treasures that I want. And therefore, I'm going to forfeit my soul, I'm going to forfeit my eternal destiny just to live the best life now. Or verse 37, well, what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? What can anyone possibly give to God in exchange for eternal life? Eternal life is of infinite value. The world and nothing we have can possibly match infinite value. And the result of all that is eternal misery. And we don't get another chance. We can't make that exchange after we die. We don't get another chance to change our mind. Jesus wants us to sacrifice everything for him. And that is a tough concept to understand. It's a tough thing to swallow. And it does seem like an awfully big sacrifice just to follow Jesus, to give him our life. Especially when the world will say, well, you've just been brainwashed. You're not thinking straight. Or you're just a party pooper now. You used to be so much more fun before. You're just a party pooper. And of course, the temptation then is to think, well, Jesus, I like what you're offering me. I want that eternal life. I want to follow you. But you know what? My friends will treat me differently. Or my family might estrange me. Well, you know what? My colleagues won't treat me the same anymore. They'll think I'm some weirdo. So if it's all the same with you, Jesus, I want what you've got, I will follow you, but is it okay if it's just between you and me? This is where Jesus spells out what actually following him looks like. Verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Jesus is saying, if you're going to take up your cross and follow me, then there must be some public declaration about that. You must be publicly living in the way that demonstrates you're following me. Otherwise, you're not obeying me. You're just obeying the world and keeping me as an optional extra. Because the opposite is so true in verse 38. For those who are not ashamed to say, Jesus is my Lord and Saviour. For those who are not ashamed to say, you know what, only in Jesus do I have life. And for those who are not ashamed to publicly say, I belong to him. Well, they're the ones that Jesus will never be ashamed of. He will never turn them away. He will gladly welcome them into his kingdom, into paradise forever. Because this is what Jesus is saying. Sacrificing yourself for Jesus means giving your life completely to Jesus. So he can treasure it like a safety deposit box. He will secure it forever. And we won't be left empty-handed. We won't be left empty-handed. And the thing is, when we need Jesus most, he will be there waiting for us. And that's the whole purpose of it. We literally put what we think saves us in the bin. Well, certainly Jesus does, and we just rest on what he secured for us. Let me pray. Lord, we do indeed thank you for what you offer us in trusting you and following you and sacrificing our life to follow and obey you, Lord. And Lord, the world will tell us that's foolish. The world will tell us that we're missing out. The world will tell us that we're weak and we lack wisdom and knowledge. But Lord, that we know that your word, which is truth and wisdom and pure knowledge, tells us to When we let go of our lives and trust you and follow you, we actually gain more than we can possibly imagine because of what you secured for us on that cross. So Lord, help us to trust in your works, in your sacrifice, and help us to gladly follow you, unashamed to be called a child of God. And Lord, give us the courage to do that. Help us, Lord, to throw away anything that hinders our walk with you. Lord, expose the idols and the desires that we refuse to throw away, and help us to trust completely in what you offer and to live boldly for you. Amen.